This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Jonathan Schanzer, Senior Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, the day after the American election, we look at the Israeli cabinet for politics of Israel during wartime. The surprise to me was that yesterday, I believe, Israeli time, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, fired, was the way it was put to me, suggested leaving, exited his defense minister in wartime. Odd, but I'd heard that this was a possibility for some weeks, and then it went away, and it came back suddenly on election day. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Is it significant that it happened yesterday? Is it significant that soon after we learned that President Trump, who was a very strong supporter of Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, was reelected president of the United States? Are these random events or are the dots connected? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think the first thing that we need to understand is that this was not a surprise. If you actually look back to March of 2023, you will see that these two men did not see eye to eye. In fact, when Gallant came out and issued a statement that he was opposed to Benjamin Netanyahu's judicial overhaul proposal, a controversial proposal, we saw a massive outpouring of Israelis into the streets of Israel. Netanyahu walked back his firing of Gallant that he had proposed that had triggered this massive protest. And the two had this uneasy relationship that existed to this day. The fact that he was not fired allowed him to be the defense minister. But we never saw trust between these two men. And in fact, that was exactly what Netanyahu suggested yesterday with his statement that the two were going to part ways. I do think that there may have been some timing here that we should look at. I think that the Israelis were betting on a Trump victory. Gallant has been very close to Lloyd Austin. He has been very close to the Biden administration. By signaling a rupture there, it was, I think, also a signal to the Biden team that during the lame duck, that the Israelis were going to go their own way, regardless of who won, not knowing whether it was going to be Harris or Trump. So we've now seen the Israeli prime minister chart a new course. He's got a new foreign minister. He's got a new defense minister. And now he's going to have a new partner here in the United States, Donald Trump, to work with. The two men do not necessarily see eye to eye on everything. You may recall they had a rupture when Trump was voted out of office. He was upset that Netanyahu recognized the elections that Trump contested. So there will still be some fences to mend here, but I do think we have now entered into a different phase of U.S.-Israeli relations in the aftermath of last night's remarkable election results.
Let's get to the facts on the ground. Has there been any suggestion of interruption in supply to Israel from the United States, as was the case earlier in the war, earlier in this last year? Is there any suggestion that there may be difficulties in the 75, 80 days left of the Biden administration?
Well, we have actually already heard that the Biden administration has said that they will withhold certain weapons if Israel doesn't agree to certain demands that the United States has issued as it relates to aid in the Gaza Strip. The Israelis continue to say that they're allowing every truck and all aid to get in to make sure that the people of Gaza do not suffer needlessly. But that doesn't mean that the administration couldn't use this opportunity to punish the Israelis or to withhold weapons as a means to perhaps try to restrain them from making further advances on the battlefields of Gaza or Lebanon or even strikes against Iran itself. What I actually really find myself thinking about right now is the lame duck period at the end of Obama's second term. We began to see the administration allowing measures to get through the UN that condemned Israel and that even called into question Jewish roots to Jerusalem, for example. So you could potentially see elements of the Biden administration try to get some last licks in, some parting shots with Israel. I think the difference, though, here is that the Biden administration might be more naturally inclined to support Israel Well, some of the bureaucrats further downstream may have an axe to grind. So I think a lot of this really depends on how much the president himself, the outgoing president, is going to be willing to allow these sorts of shenanigans to take place in these final 2.5 months of the Biden administration.
To Tehran, over these last days, I've read several reports about the Ayatollah making more threats against Israel. And then there was that report that we were supposed to see that B-52 strategic bombers moved to Qatar, the big airfield in Qatar. Do these events connect? And is there the idea here that Iran is getting ready for another barrage?
Well, we continue to see that Iran is preparing. Last I heard from friends in Israel, they were still undecided. The Iranians were that perhaps it was 60-40 that they were going to attack. We heard stories about how they might be firing short-range ballistic missiles, SRBMs, out of Iraq into Israel, for example, so that the regime itself might not be held accountable. Of course, the Israelis could still hold them accountable, even if they were attacking Israel by proxy. So in other words, right now, we're still in limbo. We don't know what will happen. I do think that after last night, though, we cannot discount the possibility that Israel may want to launch a preemptive strike against the regime. You have to remember, the Israelis have knocked out the vast majority of those S-300 air defense systems, which means that Israel has a clear path to go back into Iran should it wish to. At that point, they might be able to strike energy assets. They could strike ballistic missile storage sites. They could strike nuclear sites, and to do so with relative impunity because the Iranians do not have the ability, as we understand it, to shoot down Israeli aircraft. So the Israelis now thinking that they have a partner in the incoming White House, now believing that Trump will have their back in this war, it's actually quite possible that we will see an Israeli preemptive strike in these 2.5 months. I do have to say, though, that this is a dangerous moment for the Middle East, regardless of the political winds and how they may have shifted. We don't know how far this could go if there is another round of hostilities, whether they are initiated by Israel or whether they are initiated by Iran. This is a war that has never really been fought before, a long distance war between two enemies that have significant capabilities. This is no easy thing to navigate. And with not a lot of supervision from Washington as we watch a lame duck session begin.
My information, you mentioned the airstrike, is that Israel used F-15Is, F-16Is, F-35Is. And it was a revelation that it wasn't necessary to involve the American surveillance or ground coordination or sky coordination. The strike was carried out entirely by the IAF. Is it accurate that that's new, that they were able to do this without American help and therefore they're free to do it again?
Well, it's accurate in the sense that, yes, they were able to do this. I don't think we've seen the Israelis carry out a strike against Iran other than the strike that they carried out in the aftermath of that April attack when the Iranians fired missiles and drones at Israel. The Israelis fired back with one standoff weapon, likely over the skies of Iran, and they hit one radar in the Isfahan area. And of course, they didn't need American help there. What they did the other night in the skies of Iran or skies over Iran was independent. My understanding was that there were U.S. aircraft that were in the air prepared to help, but that they were not needed. In the end, they did not take part at all in that operation. And so, yes, the Israelis have a clear path to be able to do this on their own. The big question is whether the Iranians have other defenses up their sleeves. Do they have other platforms that they have not used? They may be able to reconstruct some of the radar systems that Israel shot down that would enable those S-300s to be operational again. But even if that's the case, it does appear that the Israelis have figured out how to destroy those S-300 systems or how to disable them before they destroy them. And that, I think, is really what opens up opportunities for the Israeli Air Force for future rounds.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Schanzer, Senior Vice President, Research for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're speaking of Iran's multi-front war. And when we come back, meet the new boss, same as the old boss at Hezbollah.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.